The professor's name, I don't know if you know of him, Karen, you probably do, Rembert Byrd Carter. I'm sure Karen's heard of him. Rembert Byrd Carter. Did you have any classes with him? No? I don't know. Did you have any classes with Dr. Carter? Okay, thank you, thank you. Got to speak up a little bit here. Yeah, he was a great professor. He taught courses like Western Civilization. He taught Baptist Foundations, American History, and other historical courses that were very interesting. He used to get up early in the morning, and he would put on speakers in his ears and put classical music in his ears, and he would go to original sources in history and study the original sources, first-hand reports. That's what he liked. He wanted everything first-hand, and he would study it out that way. That way, somebody's view of history he didn't rely on. Quite a scholar, and he had students that would attend his classes who were not even enrolled in the classes. In fact, I attended his classes when I wasn't enrolled in them because I wanted to hear what he had to say when he was talking about, like, Charles Spurgeon. He lectured on him for 3 days in a row. Every day I was there, I wanted to hear what he had to say. He was a man that was a child of God that really loved the Lord and loved the... He's just a great guy. Opened his home up for students. We'd get in his home and he'd beat us at ping pong and stuff like that. And he was a great guy. He attended one of our church services right here in the late 1980s. He came right here and went to our church service. And he used to talk about revival. And he would say that a revival isn't something planned up or worked up. It was prayed down. It came from God. And he would talk about that. And he believed in the sovereignty of God. And he was a Calvinist in that sense of the word. And what we need today, he made this statement, and I'll share it with you today. He made this statement, what we need today is simply God's blessing. What we need today is God's blessing. And when I think about the need for God to bless us with more of His presence, more of His power to witness, more of His grace, more of His spiritual benefits that He would pour out into our life, I realize when I think about that I'm thinking about Genesis 39. Would you please turn there? And I want to read one verse as our text verse from Genesis chapter 39. And I think this is played out in the life of the man in Genesis 39 that we're looking at tonight. And you know this man. His name is Joseph. Amen. Joseph. And look at verse 5, and I'll read it. It says there, "And it came to pass from the time that he..." That is, Potiphar had made him, Joseph, overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. By the way, when you get blessed, it's not for Joseph's sake. It's not for Jacob's sake. It's for whose sake? Jesus' sake. That's right. Jesus the Christ. And God looks at us through Christ, and He blessed us because of Jesus Christ. And you're on good ground if you're standing upon the ground of Jesus Christ. And so, but what we need today is what Joseph had. He had God's blessing upon his life. He had God's blessing, and the Lord was with him. And it says that he had God's blessing upon his work, and so much so that he was made overseer over Potiphar's house and over everything that that very wealthy man owned. And that was a great thing. And so that is our text for tonight. And I'm thinking about the fact that it says that the Lord's blessing was upon all that he had in the house. I'm thinking of the phrase that says, "A rising tide lifts all boats." And I want to say this, when the Lord pours out his blessing on your life and through your life, it lifts everything you touch. It affects everything you touch, and it's a good thing. And so we need to seek the Lord and pray for that kind of divine and spiritual blessing in our lives today. And that's the name of my message tonight. What you really need is the Lord's blessing. What you really need is the Lord's blessing. You need him to bless your finances. You need him to bless your prayer life. You need to bless your soul winning. Amen. You need him to bless your time in the Word of God. You need him to bless your time in church. Amen. You need to bless the work and the labor that you do for the Lord, that he would establish the work of your hand. You need him to bless your marriage. You need to bless your home. You need him to bless your friendships and the friends that you hang around with. You need the Lord's blessing in every area of your life. What Dr. Carter said is true. What we really need now and what you really need tonight is the Lord's blessing. And that is the name of my message. You know, the Bible says rightly in the book of Proverbs, the blessing of the Lord maketh what? Rich. And he addeth no sorrow to it. You know, so many times in my life, I've sought something outside of the blessing of God, outside of the will of God. And every time I've been disappointed. Every time it's made me suck sorrow. But every good gift and every perfect gift I have found out cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You don't have to add to it your own blessing. You don't have to take away from it. You just receive the blessings God has for you and make much of those blessings and those opportunities. And so that's what we really need. We need to wait upon God, receive his blessings, and you need that tonight. And I'd like to say from this passage in Genesis 39, three things about you're really needing the Lord's blessing. Number one, because you are his light in a lost and dying world. Therefore, you need his blessing. Look at 39 verse 1. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither, down there to Egypt land. Now, keep in mind, his brothers saw God's blessing on him. His brothers saw the Lord was with him. And how did they respond to that? With envy. When God blesses people, often the people of the world or carnal people will envy that. And the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Don't fight somebody that's got God's blessing. Go to the source where they got it from. The same God that will give it to them will give it to you. It's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It's no secret what God can do. You see, God blesses people not so that you could be jealous of them and envious of them. No, but you could go to the source and get it from where they got it from. And so it's not a secret. And so here's Joseph. He was down there in Egypt. His brothers threw him in a pit with no water. His brothers made a change of heart. They were going to kill him. But Judah convinced them, hey, we can get money out of it. Let's sell him for 20 pieces of silver. Judah was from the tribe of Judah. Judas Iscariot was from the tribe of Judah. He sold the greater than Joseph for 30 pieces of silver, which was at that time the price of a slave. But Joseph, who was the boss in the family and blessed of God, and his hand, God's hand was upon him, his brothers sold him for the price of a slave, 20 pieces of silver, and sold him to be a slave. And he went with the Ishmaelite merchantmen who knew how to make a buck. How much did they sell him to Potiphar for as Potiphar's slave? I don't know. But he was sold as a slave down there. Now listen to me. He could have said, what's going on? I was faithful. I was serving God. I was doing what my father wanted, my earthly father. I was doing what God wanted. Why did God put me down here? And he could have had a pity party. He could have had a face on, just a cloud over him. You know, sometimes you just see people, their face looks like they're raised on a dill pickle, you know. They just have a puss on. It's no good. And you know what? Joseph, the Bible said, he had an excellent spirit.
Right.
Everybody that saw him saw that he had an excellent spirit, and he had a face on, you know, that was a good face. And he did not have a pity party. You say, well, why didn't he have a pity party? I believe Joseph was a godly young man. You're talking about a young man about 19 years of age in the prime of life. And this godly young man knew that God was in control of everything. Hey. I believe that. We have a God that is not only in control of everything, but if you're a born-again child of God, guess what? He's working everything around you and in you together for good. And he's going to accomplish his good purpose in your life. And so you can trust God with it. And that's what Joseph did. And so, but the Bible says he was down in Egypt. Now, you know that Egypt in the Bible is a type or symbol of the wicked world system of Satan. And you know what? Joseph was down there, a slave in the world in Egypt, and he determined, you know what? I'm not going to have a pity party. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to serve God right here in Egypt. You know what? You're in this lost and dying world. You're in a mortal body. You are here. But if you're a born-again Christian, you ought to be serving the Lord. Amen. You ought not to be disappointed if the pastor doesn't mention your name or praise you. You ought to just say, Jesus knows my name. He's the one I'm serving. And that's what Joseph did. He served the Lord down there in Egypt. And as a slave, he may have been a slave of Potiphar, but he was really the Lord's free man. Amen? Because he was serving the Lord. And when you serve the Lord, you're free from people. You're free from their motives. You're free from their opinions. You are pleasing God, and we need to get back to that. And so you need the Lord's blessing. Why? Because you're a light, but you can hide that light under the bushel basket of pity, under the bushel basket of bitterness, under the bushel basket of regret, and all of that stuff that does not profit. Joseph did not do that. He determined, I am going to have an excellent spirit. By that I mean an excellent attitude. I remember our former youth director, he got convicted that he needed to have an excellent spirit, an excellent attitude. And he started to work on that in his life. And I saw it in his life. And God blessed him. And he began to have that excellent spirit. That's what Joseph had. That's what Daniel had. That's what Stephen had. Remember? They saw his face. And it was the face of a what? As an angel. And it convicted Saul of Tarsus because he realized Stephen had something more than dead religion. Listen, you need to have God's blessing to let the light shine through you so the world can see your face like the face of an angel. The world can see the glory of God in your life and in your testimony, and that you can praise God and you can have that kind of life because you are a light in this lost and dying world. And you need to know that no matter what you're going through, what Robert Ketchum said is so true, a great preacher that was a great man of God. He said that your heavenly Father is too good to be unkind and too wise to ever make a mistake. Amen. You see, you trust him. And I remember in 2017 when I was going through my dark waters, I didn't know what would be the outcome. It was just like a time of trouble. You went through that, and it's a time of trouble, and the devil is coming at you. And you know what I determined to do? I determined that every day that year that I would give the gospel to somebody until somebody prayed to receive Christ. And I did that every day that year. I just kept on going. And you know, the Bible says, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And that's what we need. And that's what Joseph had. And he had, he let his light shine the lost and dying world. He was a very good looking man. He had a very good build, Joseph did. And muscles. And he was a hard worker, handsome. Very handsome young man. And Joseph was there working in Potiphar's household, and he had to contend with Potiphar's wife, who I believe was a beautiful woman. He was the captain of the guard, a very rich man, and that's the way the Egyptians were. He had a beautiful wife, and she constantly, every day, tried to get Joseph to commit fornication with her. Every day she was, and he kept his morality. And he didn't just say, I am going to be moral, I'm going to be a virgin till I'm married, although that was his commitment. But he said why. He told her why. He said it's because of God. Amen. It's not that he was couldn't be tempted. He said, it's God. He said, my master, my boss, Potiphar, has put everything in this house under my oversight. He said, the only thing that's not under my oversight, ma'am, is you. And he said, how can I do this great sin before God? You see, he was God conscious. And if you are going to be a light in this world and shine, you don't have to go around and just keep saying, I got to be a light, I got to be a light, I got to be a light. You just got to do this. Just say, I'm worshiping you, God. I'm serving you, God.
Praise God.
I just am bringing every thought to you. What do you want me to think? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And guess what? You will be a light automatically because you're focused on the sun, and like the moon, you'll reflect the light of God. We need more believers like that. And if you do that, you will see the hand of God with you, and you will really have God's blessing on your life. He wants you to be that kind of a blessing. And so that's what we really need, because you're a light in this lost and dying world. And thank God Joseph was a light in Egypt. He didn't hide it under a bushel. No. Amen. But number two, because you need the Lord's presence and power in your life to prosper. You need the Lord's presence and power in your life to prosper. Look at Genesis 39, I'll read verse 2. It says, and the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's the name for Jehovah God, was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So you need the Lord's blessing, not only to be a light, but because you need the Lord's presence and power to prosper. You see, God gave Joseph grace, it says, and he was with him. And what that means is that God was helping him. God was strengthening him. God was making him to prosper. And I can't help but think of the Lord being with him. It says in verse number 2 here, I'll read it again, that the Lord was with Joseph. And therefore he was prosperous. The Lord was with him. You know what? God is with everybody that's a believer. He's with you. He's in you. But he's not with everybody in the same sense. There are some people, the Bible says, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. But there are some people, God is with them. He's helping them. He's pushing them forward. He's blessing them. Why? Because we're with God. We're with his will for our life. We're yielded to him. And that's the way Joseph was. God was with him. And I can't help but think of what it says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. The Bible says, Jesus said, go and teach all nations. He said, go and teach all nations. And we know that he wants us to go with the intention to give the gospel and to teach them the gospel. That is, explain to people the gospel. And that is what God says we're supposed to be doing. That's the number one command. And then he says, once you do that, they get saved. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost. And then he said, once you do that, teach them to go. Teach them to give the gospel. Teach them to baptize converts. He said, you do that, and what did he say next? What promise did he give? And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. No matter how bad things get, he promises that he'll be with us. With us in what sense? To help us, to bless us, to push us upward, and to push us onward. Why? Because we're committed to His great commission.
Amen.
But are you tonight? Is that your number one priority? Are you realizing that this world is not your home? You're just passing through. That you've got a home in heaven. That Joseph is there. That Abraham is there. That Isaac is there. That your Savior is there. And that you're not going to be able to take anything with you out of this world. Not one thing. Except for those that you brought to Jesus. And I'm telling you, those are the gems. Those are the pearls that we need to have. I see gold coins. You get a gold coin for 1 ounce. How much is a gold coin worth for 1 ounce?
About $2,000.
Yeah, he's right. About $2,000. One gold coin. One. You get a dollar, a gold dollar. You know, like a what do they call those dollars? An eagle, like a gold eagle. Yeah. You get a gold eagle, and that thing is worth $2,000. But you know what? You can't take one of those with you. Not one. Not one. The real riches don't start till you leave this world. And I don't want to be poor. And so I'm just saying, you need the Lord's presence and power to prosper. And I like what it says in Joseph's life. He served the Lord and he became a prosperous man because God was pushing him and blessing him. Why? Because he was yielded to God and his spirit was right with God. And Joshua 1:9 puts it this way. He says to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You see, God is looking to prosper somebody that'll read this book right here. God is looking to prosper somebody that will meditate and keep this thing in mind like Joseph did when Potiphar's wife was tempting him. Uppermost in his mind was the word of the Lord that was welded to his heart. And are you doing that? Or does it roll off you like water off a duck's back? He said, meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. You know, some people meditate upon sports. That's all they talk about. Some people politics. That's all they talk about. Some people meditate. But I remember Dr. Charles Ware, he was meditating on the Word of God. And that's all he talked about. You could count on it. He was excited about the Lord. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. Get us on fire for God in these land of sin, wishy-washy days. You can't take any of these things out of this world, beloved. And so we need to get revived. And you need the Lord's blessing because you're His light. You're His only lights in this world. Because you need the Lord's presence and power to prosper. Let me say something to you. The Word of God is something that God prospers. I remember when I got out of Bible college thinking I was too smart, and I got an NIV Bible and preached out of an NIV Bible. And you know what I got? I didn't get the Lord's being with me. I saw the Lord was against me. And He was hindering me in some ways. And I could feel His displeasure. And I began to check that out, and it got worse and worse. And I had deacons in the church who were getting drunk and all kind of sin going on. And I began to check that out. What's going on here? I was preaching from that NIV Bible. The Lord wasn't blessing me and prospering me in the ministry. No, it wasn't happening. There was too much carnality in there. And then it came to a head, and I had to take a stand for God. I took that stand for God. I had the right God. I was preaching from the wrong Bible. But I took a stand.
Amen.
And God told me, now, you need to get this old King James Bible.
Yep.
And I got this old King James Bible. And I have it as my only Bible.
Yes,
and I preach from this Bible. And I teach from this Bible. I meditate in it, read it. And you know what? God has prospered that. He has blessed that and put His hand upon it. And I notice, if you listen to the Bible preached in this church, It reinforces what you're reading. How many of you are reading the Bible in our reading program? All right. When you listen to what's preached, it reinforces what you read. My secretary, his wife, said the other day, she said it was really neat. She said, I was reading something in the Bible and then you preached from it. I was reading something in the Bible and then you preached from it. Amen. And I'm trying to do that more and more this year. To preach from things that we have read. And then sometimes I'll write a devotional on something. And John Payom was telling me the other night, he reads those devotionals. So he reads the Bible and he reads those, and it reinforces it. We need it reinforced. And that's when we get the blessing of the Lord. And we get prospering. Because God is with us, he prospers us like he did Joseph. Now, here's a further definition of prosperity. Prosperity is success. We talk about that, to be successful. But here's another definition in Webster's, 1828. It says to grow or increase. It means to thrive. Not just to survive, but thrive. Some people are just surviving. Some Christians are just surviving. But others are thriving.
Amen.
Joseph could have said, I'm just making it, man. I'm just surviving. No, he was thriving. He was a slave, but he was a prosperous slave. God blessed him. I've seen God bless people on their jobs. When your ways please the Lord, sometimes he'll make your employer give you all this freedom and opportunity. But when you go away from the Lord, sometimes you'll be under bondage on your job. And you'll experience more pain. And you need to see that could be God dealing with in your life. And I've had that happen in my life. And I know the difference. But God was prospering Joseph. Because even though he was a slave, he was free and he was serving the Lord. And God was blessing what he did. And he got promoted. Amen? He got promoted to be an overseer over the whole thing. And you just stay with God and he's able to promote and bless. And so that was going on there. And he prospered, like he thrived. He made gain. I think of Jacob when he was down there in Mesopotamia, and he was taking care of Laban's sheep, and Laban was a skinflint, and he kept ripping him off and cheating him, and he kept changing his wages. But what did God do? He kept prospering Jacob, so he would have more and more sheep, more and more goats. His flocks became prosperous, and God was blessing Jacob. His hand was upon him. That's what we need to see today. You know, a while back, I was leading people to the Lord. They were making professions of faith, but I wasn't seeing people get baptized. I wasn't seeing people join the church. I wasn't seeing people become soul winners and staying with it. And I said, Lord, this will not do. I don't want to just have people make decisions. I want to see people become disciples for Jesus Christ. I want to prosper.
Amen.
And then I read my Bible. And I read over there where Rachel told Jacob. She said, give me children or I die. And I began to say, Lord, I want that. I want true children of God that are born again, that have a testimony for Christ. And I prayed for that. And then I read about Hannah. And Hannah was so moved. And she fasted and prayed. And finally, God gave her Samuel. And then he gave her five other children. And I said, Lord, I want to break out of barrenness. And you know what happened? God began to prosper my soul winning. He began to bless it. And people got saved. They came to church. They came down the aisle and got baptized. They joined the church. I remember hearing about Dr. Jack Hiles as a young preacher in Texas. And he'd read about Christmas Evans. And he'd read about Savannah Roland. He'd read about John Wesley and all these great men of God. And he would read about their prosperity in witnessing and seeing people get saved. And he said, where is the power of God today? And he was talking about the 1950s at that time in East Texas. And he would pray and fast. And he was losing weight. And then God filled him with the power and the blessing of his presence. And he started having services where people would get saved. And they'd get baptized. They joined the church. He had nobody down the aisle before that. Not at all. And God began to prosper his ministry. And the Lord was with him. Boy, we need more of that today. You can do that as a preacher, but you could do that as a layman like Stephen was a deacon, and God's hand was upon him. Do you really want to prosper? What we really need now is the Lord's blessing, because you're called to be a light in a lost and dying world, because you need the Lord's presence and power, beloved, to prosper. And finally, what we really need is the Lord's blessing, because you need the Lord's blessing to impact the world around you. I want you to see Genesis 39 and verse number 3. I'll read it. It says, "And his master," that's Potiphar, "saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." What is that saying there? It's saying that Potiphar could see God's blessing in Joseph's life. He was a man of the world. He was an Egyptian. He didn't love the Lord, but he saw the grace of God in Joseph's life. Can the unsaved world see God's blessing in your life? Can they see God's blessings? God blesses you so that people can see it around you and see it. And I saw it in this guy's life when he got saved, and then he was living in the projects and living on welfare and came out of the bus ministry. But he determined, no, I'm going to have my own home. I'm going to have my own money. I'm going to have my own job. And God prospered him. God prospered his marriage. God prospered his family. It's great when his wife is gone. He's got his daughter playing piano and his son playing the organ in church. Amen and amen. That's God's prosperity.
Amen.
That's what makes you rich. One time a rich man came and saw a man that didn't have a whole bunch of money, and he said, "Boy, you got all these kids. That's what makes a rich man poor." He said, "No, you got it wrong. That's what makes a poor man rich." And it's true. And that's God's blessing. And Potiphar could see it on Joseph's life. The blessing of God was there upon his life. And what does it say there? It says, "And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper." By the way, you need to do something for God. You need to work and work hard for God. I was out on bus ministry. It was cold Saturday, and the wind was blowing, and I dressed warm, but I was out there, and I was carrying those sleds and showing them, knocking on those doors. And guess what? God made my work to prosper. And God will make your work to prosper. He blesses hard work. But if you do nothing, then you're not going to see the blessing of the Lord. You got to work hard. What does it say? A.L. Williams, show up. Live right, work hard. Show up, work hard, live right. Work hard. And you need to show up and work hard. I tell our kids, I say, if you want to get points in school and do well at Revival Baptist Christian School, you better show up in church. Not only Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. You need to show up and work hard and invest in the ministry, and God blesses work. You know, in the old union mentality, the union bosses would say, "Now listen, we don't want to work too hard. If you work too hard, you're going to make your union member look bad. And so you just stay at a certain level and don't exceed that." And sometimes that carries over in the church. Somebody gets saved for a number of years and they got this thing down, and we can just kind of coast our way. "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would win. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the pain, endure the cross, supported by thy word." I put my own words in there, but that'll work. Good words, amen. You need to work hard for God, and God will bless that work. Joseph didn't have a pity party when he was sold by his brothers. No, he became a slave in Egypt, and he worked hard in Egypt, and God promoted him, and God blessed him. And then what happened? His Potiphar's wife, she was, you know, Frank Sinatra put it right when he said, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned." Amen. He scorned her for God. He said, "Nope, I can't do this." He was polite, but he scorned her. She literally grabbed hold of him, and he ran out of there, and she was left with his cloak. And she said, what am I going to do with this? I know. I rape! And she lied. And he was put in jail by the captain of the guard, Potiphar, who got enraged when he heard what happened, or what reportedly happened. It was fake news. If anybody could have had a pity party, accused of raping the boss's wife, it could have been Joseph. Now he's in jail. First, his brothers put him in a pit, sold him as a slave. God blessed his work. Now he's in jail. But he did not have a pity party. He sang, he praised God, and the Bible said he served people in jail.
Amen.
He served people. He looked at his fellow prisoners, I'm here to serve you. He had a servant heart.
Good.
Boy, we need more of that. Jesus said, I didn't come to be the big kahuna.
Right.
He said, I came to seek and to save, and he came to serve.
Yes.
He said, the greatest among you be the servant of all. And Jesus had a servant mentality.
Right.
I think of what Dr. Jack Hyle said. He said the great churches that are growing and building and going forward in America, and he traveled to these churches, are not built by great pulpiteers necessarily. He said they're built by great servants. And that's what we need, a servant mentality. And Joseph had that servant mentality, and how God blessed him, and he promoted him, and the boss could see God's hand all around him, and praise the Lord for God's hand around him. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to see it. And I got encouraged to see Jose Valley leading singing tonight, or this morning, not tonight. He was leading singing, and Brother Z taught him, and seeing Jose get locked in and God blessing his life, you can see that, God's hand. He's teaching a Sunday school class now. He's got an opportunity to be a bus captain. He's got open doors, and God will give you those opportunities. If you will simply say, you know what, I'm going to show up, I'm going to work hard for the Lord with a servant mentality, I'm going to live right like Joseph did, and do what the Word of God says, even when people aren't watching, even when I'm all alone in my apartment or in my house, I am going to live before God. And God will bless that, because that's what we really need, is God's blessing on our life. And I'd like you to see Genesis 39 now, in verse number 5, which is our text verse. And I'll read it again. It says, and it came to pass from the time that he, Potiphar, had made him, Joseph, overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptians, house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Boy, I'll tell you what, everything rises and falls on leadership. That's why I tell people, you know, when you get a team, you want to have the right coach of that team. When you get a church, you want to have the right pastor of that church. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And Joseph was the kind of man, Potiphar put the right guy over his house, and God blessed it abundantly. And I want you to notice this, that Joseph was always, listen to this, Joseph was always promoted wherever he went to have more and more responsibility. You say, why? Jesus put it this way. Listen to me. He said, faithful in little, and God will make you ruler over much. You just be faithful to make much of what he's given you, even if it's a little thing. Even if it's being a prisoner or a slave, and God will make you rule over much. I looked at this in Joseph's life, and I saw that Joseph was the son of Rachel, his mother, and he was a young man as he grew up in his father's house that his father could trust him. And so what did he do? He made him to be the foreman over the concubines sheep. He had two concubines and two wives, and the concubines were secondary wives. And he said to Joseph, I want you to watch over the sheep of the sons of the two secondary wives. I want you to watch them and report to me. And Joseph did it. And then I see later on where Jacob sent him to watch over all of his 11 brothers' sheep.
Amen.
Check them all out. I want you to be over the whole shebang. And when he came to check them out, his brothers said, let's get rid of him. And they threw him in the pit and sold him as a slave down to Egypt. But there in Egypt, what did God do? He prospered him because he served the Lord there, had an excellent spirit, and God was with him. And what happened? Potiphar's wife lied about him, and she got him in jail. Now he's in jail. And what happened? The jailer made him over all the prisoners. He was running the jail. And God was prospering. And when those two guys came from Pharaoh's household, the butler and the baker, and they had a dream, Joseph said, how can I serve you? Well, we need this dream interpreted. Well, interpretations are of God, but I believe he'll give you the interpretation. And he gave him the interpretation. And it came to pass just as Joseph said. He had a prophetic gift. He was a prophet. And you know what? They forgot about him. They forgot about him. But God didn't forget about it. Later on, Pharaoh had a dream. And when Pharaoh had that dream, he called for help. Nobody could help him, but the butler said, I remember a man, a Hebrew in jail, who can interpret dreams. Pharaoh got him out of there, had him shaved, because the Egyptians, you had to be shaved. And he went before Pharaoh. He was 30 years old at this time. A young man, 30 years old. And he said, I can't interpret it, but God will give Pharaoh an interpretation of peace. And he told him, your dream represents 7 years of a bounty and 7 years of famine. He said, I counsel you, king, during that 7 years, take 1/5 of all the produce, save it up for the famine. And Pharaoh said, who is like this guy? Who has an excellent spirit like this guy? And he was put in charge of all Egypt. An amazing position over all Egypt. And what a picture he is of the Savior. When the Jewish people, his brethren, rejected him, now the whole world is believing on the Lord. And people are getting saved all over the world. And he's dressed up in Gentile garb now, so the Jews don't recognize Jesus as their Messiah. But he still is. And there was Joseph being blessed of God. What am I saying to you? You'll experience opposition, but you just keep on serving the Lord and doing what he wants you to do, and you will get God's blessing, and you'll make an impact on those around you that they will be pointed to God and blessed by God because of your testimony. And Joseph was a blessing to Egypt. Joseph was a blessing to his own family. Because he didn't ever get bitter at his family. He could have been bitter. He could have been bitter. And when they came to him for bread, he could have said, forget you. No, he put them through hardship because he wanted to see repentance. And he wanted to see that they were getting right with God. Because if you really love somebody, you want them right with God, right? You don't love somebody if you don't care if they're right with God. He wanted them right with God. And so he dealt with them accordingly, and they did get right with God and made the right decision to repent of what they had done to Joseph. And he saw it, even though they didn't realize that he was watching them all this time, and they were dealing with Joseph. And what a wonderful thing it is that God blessed him, and he was able to take care of and feed his family. He said, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. He kept his eyes on God. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my great father, I thy son. You need to keep your eyes on God. And you really need the Lord to bless you. Not the pastor, not the deacon, not somebody in your job, you need the Lord to bless you. And He will do it because He puts you to be a light in this lost world. Because you need the Lord's presence and power in your life to really prosper in all you do. And because you need the Lord's blessing to make an impact for good to those around you. May God help us to get that blessing. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed and eyes closed. We've been talking about how you might be a blessing and have God's blessing. I wonder if you'll say to me, preacher,